Okay, I get to introduce our first speaker this morning. So this is why you all wanted to come so early and make sure you're here at 8 a.m. Debbie Metter is gonna come and join us. And guys, Debbie, wow, I have, so I've been at Athey for, I don't know, 20 some years. And when I first met Debbie, her kids were tiny and little, and I saw Brookie and Joey, you know, hanging on the stairway railing and, you know, always so smiley. And I got to just see Debbie as just walking out this example of what it looks like. And I truly feel like I learned how to be a mom from Debbie. And we are all blessed here. If any of you guys have been able to participate in her mom time studies that she does, she's always bringing the word right to us where it's really, really practical. So I'm really excited to have Debbie join us. Would you guys welcome Debbie Metter?
Hi, everybody. I didn't know if you'd make it. It is early in the morning, but the sunshine helps us just pop awake, right? That's what I'm hoping for. So anyway, it is such an honor to be here. I'm so thankful that Amy asked me to join. This is such a beautiful group. I'm not saying that you're enough. I'm not saying that in light of what Amy talked about last night, right? But to me, you are enough. I just, you're more than enough. God has completely, really shown the body of Christ in you all today. So I want to make sure and just encourage you in that. It's a beautiful thing. So Amy, the topic is renewed. And so Amy very kindly, very sweetly, I'm going to just pull up my emergency chair. That's what I call it. Because I'm blessed with low blood pressure. It's a good thing. But in front of you all, maybe I don't want to faint. So I'll do this. It's psychological too. I'm sure it is. Whatever. So Amy had given us a prompt, which was awesome. I was like, this is like being back in school or being back in college where the teacher gives you a prompt. And so I was excited. I was like, this is kind of like when you are going to draw names for Christmas, right? And you're like, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get? Who do you get a buy for? You know? So I was like, okay, here we go. Here's my prompt. How does the Spirit renew in the daily? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute, how? Hold on a minute. Wait a second. Athey's grown a lot. We've got people coming in from Pentecostal and people coming in from Catholic and people coming in from Baptist, and we're all sort of mushed together here. How does the Spirit renew? And then I started to think, whoa, we could have some trouble here, you know? So what I thought would be the best thing to do would be to just dive into the Word and say, truly, how does the Spirit renew? And with the Word as our guide, that's what I decided to do. So we're going to be hanging out in a couple of books. We're going to be kind of flipping. I don't know if you have marks or if you have bookmarks or if you have leftover, you know, tags from some kids' camp or something, a wrist bracelet that you can stick in your in your Bible. But we're going to just look at the first chapter of Genesis, not the whole thing, just a couple chapters. We're also going to be in the book of John a little bit, so just kind of head over in that direction. And then we're also going to be in Isaiah chapter 45 a little bit. So thank you so much for your attention. Do get out your writing implements or your phone if you want to take notes that way too, because there is going to be a lot of scripture, and I'm not at slide level yet where I can click, click, click and have you guys see it. So you're just going to have to take notes the old-fashioned way, okay? So that's the way that rolls. That's the way it rolls. So I'm so thankful for the things that Amy shared with us yesterday, man, about just the flesh and that word sarx and how that carnal part of us, explaining that, and really truly how the Spirit is what indwells us to really do so many things. And she briefly touched about on that, and it was just so awesome to listen and to see confirmation of the things that I'm going to share with you all today. Because I think the Lord's just putting together a neat little package, and then later when Sharon shares as well, it's really cool to see when the Holy Spirit is actually doing a work. So in light of my prompt, how does the Spirit renew? I want to go ahead and just pray and ask that God tie together last night with this morning. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that your spirit is at work, that you are powerful, and that you have given us access to that, Lord. I pray that now, at this time while we're sharing, that you would reap, Lord, of the spirit, that the things that are talked about would reap for eternity, and Lord, that you would set our mind on the spirit. I thank you in Jesus' name. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John 1, verse 1. In John 1, 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That means he was God in some translations, and he was with God. In verse 2, it says, "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." In verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all men." Now flip over to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, we're just going to kind of briefly look over that. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Now, back over to John, chapter 1, verse 5. "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And now I'd like you to flip over to Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah 45, verse 18. And again, if you want to just take these notes and then look them up yourself later, because I think the Lord can bless you and bless us as we recall those things that God called into existence and where his light can touch all the dark places. In Isaiah 45, we just have an undergirding, a highlighting of what God has done. He says, "Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." This morning, the question is, how does the Spirit renew in the life of the ordinary? How does the Spirit renew in our family life, in our daily life, and in general? How does the Spirit renew? To give and to allow us to see how the Spirit renews in the ordinary, I believe that it's important for us to look at the things that God's done and how the Spirit has renewed in the extraordinary. Just the scriptures that I shared earlier shows us that it is extraordinary that God made the earth. It's extraordinary that God made us. It's extraordinary that God has this recorded in his word for us to recall. It's extraordinary that God is the Word. It's extraordinary that Jesus is the Word. Now back to John, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now before we get really going, I just want to have a little stop at a review to just make sure that we recall that the Trinity is a thing. So the Trinity is the triune being of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. Without that, we lose stability in what we're going to talk about today, but the entire Word of God is based on that. So that will help you as you continue with your studies. Now, what's really cool about Isaiah 45:18 that we just read a couple minutes ago is that it talks about how God is saying, "Thus saith the Lord, I'm telling you this, I made the earth, and he made it to be inhabited." And you think about that word, inhabited. Okay, cool. That's cool. We're going to inhabit the earth. Now, especially in today's climate, the cultural climate that we're in, not just in America, but worldwide, there's this climate to sort of push people really off of the earth. It's completely counter to what God's initial plan was. He wanted the earth full of us. And I don't think it's any mistake, and here's what's super cool, is in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, "Thou who inhabits the praises of his people." That word inhabit, yeshah, is the same word as what God used to inhabit the earth. Can you see the picture? As you look around and you see all of us here, it makes me well up thinking, God's plan is for people. We are important to God, and he wants to inhabit us. And a way that we can guarantee that God, we will sense his presence, is in praise. That's just one way. Now, there's countless ways, which is part of the reason why when I saw the prompt, I was like, oh no, I'm not sure if I got the good one for the prompt, because we all have separate handprints. We all look different. We have eyes that look different. All of our retina, everything. If you were to scan all of us as human beings, we are clearly different. So each of us is going to experience that renewal of the spirit just a little bit differently. But to bake it all down and to condense it down, I just feel like the Lord maybe showed me four things to show today. Just four things. Number one, the spirit renews through the word of God. That's kind of a no-brainer. Super confirmed last night with what Amy talked about. So the word of God, which we know is Jesus. When you are reading the word of God, Jesus is meeting you there. And it doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we can be greatly encouraged by that, spending time in the word. Number two, praise, because he inhabits the praise of his people. And number three, our people. The body of Christ can give you fresh renewal. It's one of the reasons why we're called to fellowship, why we're not called to be isolated beings all alone. And then number four is prayer. Because in prayer, we do have communion with God. And sometimes all of those things are combined, and sometimes they're very individualized moments in your life. But just for today, those are the four that we're going to camp out on. And ask ourselves, prompt yourself this, let God inhabit my heart. So definition of terms, in terms of the Spirit. And Amy went over this a little bit last night, but what's super, super cool is that she and I didn't talk about this, and we have a lot of similar things that kind of cross over. It's so, so neat. So she talked about the definition of terms with the Spirit. She talked about pneuma. In the Old Testament, it's ruach. Now, as I was flipping around, going through stuff, looking up this and that, and coming across the Spirit and everything, and I was looking at the definition of terms and all that stuff, and I'm going to read that to you, I go, okay, so the Spirit of God was hovering over the, what is Spirit? Okay, look that up. Okay, hold on a second. Now, what about the Spirit when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, landed in a dove? Look, what's that word? That's Greek. That's the New Testament. Wait, the Old Testament's Hebrew. Ruach. Wait, New Testament. Hold on, pneuma. That's like pneumonia. I mean, I've had pneumonia a lot. That's like, whoa, that's horrible thing when you have pneumonia. But it's also powerful because your body's completely overtaken. And I'm looking at the definition for the New Testament Greek, and I'm looking at the definition for the Old Testament, and it's 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I go, hey, Brett. And he's like, yeah. And I go, I know that you have taught this probably 25,000 times, but Old Testament ruach, spirit, same as New Testament pneuma? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, great. So then I go back to studying and everything. He's like, so yeah, he didn't understand because, you know, he's not here. So, all right. But this is what the ruach, this is the a fuller definition of ruach. So, and it's so awesome. And I think you guys know this. I have said this at the mom time and at different times. But I love the Blue Letter Bible app because you can click on the word and go to the Strong's Concordance, and then the Strong's Concordance can give you an interlinear definition. So if you do want to kind of do word studies, that's such an easy way for you to do it. You don't have to go digging through. And what's sweet is you can even push on the definition in Hebrew, and the sweet man who actually created Strong's Concordance, it's his voice. I love that. I think that's so sweet. So that's just me. That's just Debbie trivia, whatever. So here's the Old Testament Ruach. So breath, which is what Amy talked about last night, wind, wind of heaven, like a breath of air, the spirit as that which breathes quickly in animation or agitation, spirit, animation, vivacity, vigor, spirit of courage, spirit as it relates to temper or anger, impatience, patience, spirit as in disposition, trouble, bitter, discontented, spirit as in disposition of various kinds, unaccountable spirit, uncontrollable spirit, uncontrollable impulse. Now I'm describing a toddler. Spirit as in prophetic spirit. Spirit as a gift preserved by God. God's spirit departing at death, disembodied being. If you've ever been present with someone when they were escorted to the gates of heaven, you know exactly what that meaning is. It's an amazing, amazing thing to watch. Spirit as in desire or sorrow or trouble, like when Pharaoh was troubled in his spirit. It also means anxiety and depression. Spirit also can mean the seat or organ of mental acts. This is where it starts getting super cool into how the Lord and the Holy Spirit is able to divide, and we choose whether we live according to the flesh or we choose whether we live according to the Spirit and our mind and our emotions. The Spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. That's just getting us started. Now in the New Testament, that's pneuma, that's the Greek. An example of that is Jesus getting baptized or the Holy Spirit ascended upon him as a dove. Peter was filled with the Spirit. It says that several different times. And then Stephen in the book of Acts, the one who was martyred, he was filled with the Spirit as he was being killed and was able to be filled and have those last departing words in a moment of his death. And this is where I say, oh, Lord, only you can do this. But literally last night, Amy said virtually this, the same power that was used, the same power, that spirit that was used to create the world is the same power that was used to raise Christ from the dead. The same power that's accessed in the heroes of the Old Testament, whether you see Jacob who tried in his own flesh and it didn't work out, and then he wrestled with God and God disciplined him with his hip. Some of you have bad hips, you know. God gave him a mark in his life. Jacob, you are not going to do this according to your flesh. This is going to be by my spirit. We see Samson in the Old Testament slaying the day. No matter what it was he did, he could take it on and whoop it. And that is because of the Spirit. And as soon as he walked according to the flesh, what happened? The Spirit of God, he recognized that it was no longer with him. So we see Old Testament figures, and then we see Jesus, and we see the New Testament heroes as well. That is the same Spirit that we have access to today. So we know we can access that. We know it's available to us. Amy also shared last night, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And I was so excited that she shared so much because I was able to go, ding, off of my notes, like, I don't need to share that, I don't need to share that, which is great. But just for review, if you hang out in the book of John very much, you're going to see John chapter 14, 26. You're going to see 1 John 4, 13. Amy went over those scriptures, that the Spirit has several roles, a comforter to us, a truth teller to us. There's a form of discipline that happens with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, Jesus calls us to obedience. And we know we have a fleshly nature, so we know we're going to fail. But we also know that God is about transformation. And Amy beautifully shared that last night. And so that's exciting. But his word is the lamp unto our feet, right? The Word of God is what we use as our map in order to help us navigate, in order to help us know which way to go. And we're gonna mess up and we're gonna have bumps along the road, but this is part of our life, is that transformation that takes place. The Holy Spirit also is to convict us of righteousness. It's to convict us of sin. Jesus said of sin because they don't believe in him. Of righteousness because he was going to go to the Father. And then of judgment because Jesus said, the ruler of this world has been judged. Praise God for that. That's the actual truth. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would remind us of that truth, that the enemy has been judged. That's so good. So the Spirit, according to the word of Christ, will guide us into all truth. In John 4, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now back to John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That word power means privilege, force, capacity, competency. This is all for you all right? He gave you freedom, masterly, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, delegated, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength to become the sons of God. And that is plural, not masculine or feminine. That is a general term. That's amazing. That is amazing. But it is connected with our belief. It is connected with our faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to be in the word. We have to. It's like planting a seed and just letting it die. In fact, Jesus talked about that, the parable of the sower, that there would be things that would come and try to get at that seed so that it would not produce fruit. And we as women have to be taking very much care. We need to care. We need to care that we do not have cares of the world, which we do. It's in our nature to have cares of this world. We need to be very cautious of the deceit of riches. We need to be very cautious about lust and other things entering in, because if we do that, it chokes out the word of God. So just know that what Jesus said, you can bank on. It's his promise. He said in John chapter 8, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And in 8:63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. So I'm going to go back a little bit. And in Isaiah, just go ahead and go back to, to chapter 43. So when Amy so sweetly introduced me, she talked about my kids being little. And it's crazy how time goes by. But we're going to just go back in time, about 25 years, to that season when Amy first saw me and my kids. And back in that day, you know, Southern Oregon was, every day looks like this from April until October. All of our family was down there, all of the cousins. We had stair steps of cousins all the way from little Casey up to about age 16 or 17. Little every other year there was a cousin, you know. So family gatherings were super sweet. Friends were sweet. Times together were sweet. Okay? So I knew that there was something that was going to be going down, all right, as far as our life. I knew that Brett was called to fill in the blank. It was going to be something to do with ministry. We did not know if we were going to move down to Vanuatu, which was an option. He had been asked at one time to come and start a church in Australia. We sold all of our stuff. I thought we were going. Nope. So it was like something's happening. Don't be too attached to anything. You know, you just get in that mode when you know you're going to have to move. So there had been a few things that were on the table. So you guys all know Portland ended up being the choice, okay? So here's me, and here's my little kids, and Brett's meeting with the folks at church, which at the time, if you can imagine, I mean, 40 was a big number of people. Like, we had doubled in size at the number of 40 people, you know? But Brett was busy meeting with folks, and sometimes that would be that people would get off work, so he would meet with folks and do counseling and stuff in the evening. So often, and I loved these seasons of having me and the kids, but we were together a lot. I loved that I was able to be a stay-at-home mom because the connection and the urgency of that relationship that's developed with my kids was super cemented during that time. It was really, really, really vital. But you know how it is. The house is empty. The kids get tucked in. I mean, it's not totally empty because the kids are there. But they're all tucked in and, you know, it's raining and there's things and news is not really a good option because there's usually some convict that escaped. And our first couple of nights, we were like hearing helicopters flying over our house, like, oh my word. And we figured out that we were on the 90, the triangle out in Sherwood, 99. And sure enough, I don't know why, but criminals figure out 99 is a way to go. So they, you know, and pretty soon we're like seeing lights going around and we're like, oh my goodness. And behind our house was this field and is the criminal back there or whatever. So it was like, it was a little challenging. It was a little different for me to go from that over the, down in Southern Oregon where it felt very safe and very like, I knew everybody in the store and hello and all that because we all went to the same church. So many people went to the same church. Now there's thousands of people that live down there. Obviously there's many different churches, but my little world was very safe and very unrocked, right? And I liked it that way. I loved it that way. Okay? So, I have my children, and they're sleeping, and they're doing really good. And I'm in the Word because I'm like, Lord, I need help. Okay? So, I decided to go through the book of Isaiah. It was an extreme comfort to me. Extreme comfort to me. During this season, when I told Brett he would get home, hey, hon, how was your night? And I'd say, it was great. He said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going through the book of Isaiah. He's like, wow, I really don't go through the book of Isaiah and see a lot of comfort in there. But for me, maybe it's because I can go into melancholy phases. To me, I can relate. I love it. The emotion, the drama that's in there, the level, the extent that God does to get your attention when you read the book of Isaiah was just extremely sweet. So the Lord, in a moment, helped my mind change regarding our situation. And in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, he says, this is what the Lord says, the one who created you. The one who formed you. Do you know that God knows you? Do you know that God formed you? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I will be with you. In verse 16, it says, this is what the Lord says. Who makes a way in the sea? And a path through raging water. Talk about symbolism. We had moved to Portland. Who brings out the chariot and horse, the army and the mighty one together? They lie down. They do not rise again. They are extinguished, put out like a wick. Ladies, I want to ask you today, have you had war in your life? Have you seen things in your life that you would not have otherwise wanted to see? Have you been saved from the enemy? Have there been family battles? Has there been divorce? Has there been mental agitation? Now, as we camp out on that scripture that the Lord so let me have in my heart so that I could sit back and watch God do what he was gonna do, as mighty as a chariot and a horse getting thrown into the sea to release the children of Israel, to get them out of their bondage. I was able to be renewed by the Spirit in that evening. And that is accessible to you. One of the points that we talked about was people. And fellowship is crucial. It's crucial. Earlier this week, I was able to have breakfast with a good friend and her mom. And her mom brought up the topic of oppression. And when I got done with that breakfast, I went and was preparing for this. And I thought, you know, I really feel like I want to look up what oppression is. And I want to read a definition of oppression. Oppression is, this is an 1828 Webster Dictionary. And then in a minute, I'm going to go to the new. They're not too far apart, but I think it's very important. Oppression is the act of oppressing, the imposition of unreasonable burdens, cruelty, severity, the state of being oppressed or overburdened, misery, hardship or calamity, depression, dullness of spirit, sense of heaviness or weight in the chest. Ladies, we have been delivered from this. We have been delivered from this. It has been snuffed out. And the Lord will remind us that He has judged this thing. And we no longer have to listen to that thing that would do us harm. We no longer have to walk underneath that. This is what the Lord says, how He says it in Isaiah. Do not remember past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? The Lord says. You see, part of renewal includes belief in God, who He is, what He's done, and praise for what He's going to do. Belief in Him, belief in His love, trust in Him, trust in His love. Now, just for a fast survey, and just jot these down, we're going to bounce from John over to the book of Mark. And this is not anything that you guys have to do other than just take down these notes and observe this in Scripture. See, the Spirit was upon Jesus. In the book of Mark, it says it's the beginning of the gospel of God. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In verse 10, the Spirit came upon Him like a dove. In verse 11, we hear, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. He walked among the people by the Sea of Galilee, and they were astonished. Even the unclean spirit knew who Jesus was. There was healing. He healed leprosy, which is a sign of sin, being unclean to clean. We see the through the roof situation where the friends wanted their friends so badly to be healed that they cut out a space in the roof and lowered their friend down, and Jesus healed them. That paralyzed man went from lame to walk. The withered hand, something that was inactive, completely healed. We see healing in the book of Mark and all the four gospels, but for right now, we're looking at that. But what grieved Jesus was the hardness of the people's heart. We need to pray that we allow the Spirit to come in and do that cutting work that Amy referred to last night. Because it grieves God when our hearts become hardened. And may they always be soft and pliable to the Spirit so that we can be quickened, so that we can receive discipline, so that our minds can be renewed. We need to remain pliable people. Wisdom from Jesus regarding the word. Again, just going back to the parable of the sower, being mindful of those things that would want to rip out the word of God. We want fruit in our lives. We need to ask God to prepare the soil of our hearts, of my heart. We need to ask God for that because we cannot do it on our own. We see more deliverance in the book of Mark. We see the man at the tombs. Jesus knew the woman who touched him, and He called her daughter. It's so sweet. In Mark chapter 6, there was no mighty work there because of the people's unbelief. And after much work, deliveries of people, the death of John the Baptist, in verse 31 of that same chapter, Jesus says, come and rest a while. Come. Let's rest. Sometimes renewal happens when we rest. Take time to rest. Take time to pay attention to your body. Take time to pay attention to your brain and your brain health and your mind. Take time to observe what is going on. Take care of your whole self, not because you're feeding your carnal flesh, but because to not take time to work within the physical constraints of what God has done in giving us our bodies and our minds, which include our brain, which is an organ just like our heart. If we do not take time to pay attention to those things, then we are actually acting carnal. Because we are not able to walk in obedience and walk as best as we can if we are not actually allowing ourselves to make the adjustment and make the changes that we need to do in order to be our best self. And again, not because of our own works, but because God created physics. He created the nature of gravity. He created the nature of how everything works, all of it within our body, every system, whether it's our respiratory system or our cardiovascular system, our skin, everything. Take care. Take care. It all matters in the way that we're renewed in the spirit. It all matters. Trust him. Rest in his good plans for you. Receive the help that you need. Let go of yourself. Watch him do the new thing, but give him allowance to do the new thing. He's making a way for water to run where there's a desert. He's putting in water in places for refreshment where there never was water before. Every good thing that happens to us comes from God. Every good thing, every perfect gift comes from him. He is the Father of light in whom there's no variation. There's no shifting shadow. Bless his name. He alone is good. His word is eternal. He can transform me and he can transform you. Allow him to breathe into your life. That ruach, that pneuma. Allow him to have that strength in your life. I loved the C.S. Lewis quote that Amy shared last night. I loved it, that there is no neutral ground. The enemy of our souls wants to take whatever we let him take. Now, going back to the modern definition of oppression, to exercise authority or power in a burdensome, cruel, or unjust manner, an act or instance of subjecting to cruel or unjust impositions or restraints, the state of being oppressed, the feeling of being heavily burdened mentally or physically by troubles, adverse conditions, anxiety, etc. I ask you, in today's culture where everyone's talking about who victimized who and who oppressed who and whatever, who is the actual oppressor? It is the enemy of our souls. Don't give him an inch. And we need to encourage each other in that, to not give the enemy an inch. He has been judged. He has been judged. And we're being victimized every single time we allow the enemy to toy with us. And we need to stand strong with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, in prayer, with the counsel of wise women around you, with the covering of your husband. We need to stand strong and be girded up. Coming into his courtroom with praise and thanksgiving for who he is, knowing that he inhabits the praise of his people. Use these weapons that we have, these spiritual weapons, in order to have that renewal. We do not have to be bound by past sins. That is a lie. And we don't have to be bound by past failures, not that we have done or not that anyone else has done to us. His word is eternal. And I do not have to live in the past. And God could shape my future, and he can shape your future. And we know that he promises that he has a future and a hope. He has good plans for us, but we have to grab on to that. We have to grab on. Thank him for the past life that you've had. Pull out those lessons from the things that you've learned. Ask the Holy Spirit to create a path in the wilderness for you. I know I'm working on that. Hard. He's promised us transformation, that metamorphosis. He's promised us renewal, but we must choose. We need to choose to look for the new thing in that desert. Look to Christ in confidence, not in myself, confidence in Jesus. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it talks about being made new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have been made new. That word new means recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn, of a new kind, unheard of, unprecedented. You see, God, every single day, is renewing us. Every day. Our outside, the Bible talks about that as wasting away. But our inner man, that's being renewed day by day. Don't let the enemy oppress you in this. You are made new, and I am made new. Isaiah 43, going back to that, this is what the Lord says. If you just scan Isaiah 43 and going all the way through Isaiah, but this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. My mind and your mind, we can grab on to that thing that we're wrestling with, and we can transform that and say, this is what the Lord says. We have challenges every day. Challenges of whether or not we're going to ask God and step into that renewal process, or whether we're going to get stuck. And I've been stuck a lot. I have been stuck a lot. I don't want anyone here to think that I'm up here because of something special. I am up here because of Jesus. That is it. That's it. Trusting God, following Him, being in submission to Him, submitting my mind to Him because I'm set free. Not because of how I feel, but because I have been set free. Or I can choose to not do that. And I can choose to agree with my oppressor and stay bound and stay withered, stay lame, and stay covered in leprosy. That is not my choice. I do not choose that. I choose to walk in renewal. I have to pay attention to my mind. I have to pay attention to my brain. I have to pay attention to my schedule. I have to pay attention to what I eat, because it all really messes me up if I don't. And thank God, Jesus gives us permission to come and rest a while, because we need it. Do you have to submit to rest? Is that something that the Holy Spirit may be prompting in you? To submit to rest in order to be free. Do you need to walk away from a family relationship? I know that's been something in my life in the past 6 months. And it is treacherously hard to disconnect from relationships that would cause me harm. That is hard. And it's complicated. And it's serious. And it digs deep into your heart. And it digs ditches in your mind of torment and heartache. But do I need to submit to that? For what's best for me and for my family? And I ask you that because I know for a fact that's happening in some people's lives here as well. We're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us, and we can gain strength from that and continue to move forward. But if you need to be set free, then let's ask God to help you walk in freedom. Let's ask God to help us walk this walk with Him, because we're not alone. We have the Word. We know we have praise as a tool. We have sisters in our life. And we have prayer. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus gives us truth. Truth in that context means firmness, stability, firm and stable peace, faithfulness, in which anyone is consistent and performs promises. Isn't that great? That's who Jesus is. He keeps his promises. Jesus is consistent. Jesus is free from deceit. He's free from falsehood. He is 100% the way to living a life that is in harmony with divine truth. So why do we struggle? Is it a lack of trust? Is it expectations that we have? If I think I know better, then I really am being prideful. If I think I know better than God how my life should operate, that's pride. God, who is firm and stable and will give me stable peace, he's the one I can rely on. So when God beautifully blessed me with Brett as a strong Christian covering husband, if he really, really has a direction for our life and our family, I really can trust God. God, not Brett, God, who is able to deliver those promises, to walk in the way that I need to go. Confess it out in prayer. Praise him for forgiveness and giving to us a new way to live and think. Tell your friends the great things that he has done. In Revelation, it says that they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Talk to your friends about the great things God's doing in your life. Talk to your friends about the challenges, because when God delivers you out of those challenges, they will see victory and it will be comforting to them. Proclaim his word and proclaim it to yourself. I loved what Amy talked about last night as far as getting washed. And I thought, you know, I think I need to put a postcard that's like right on where I brush my teeth and time to wash up with the word of God. Because we really do, like she said, every single day. And the reason why we come to church and listen and the reason why we need to be in the word every day is because we need to be washed up, like washed up. We need bleach, you know? And surrender everything, you know? If we're a house, we don't need a remodel, all right? We need a complete knockdown rebuild, all right? This is not, we're not goofing around. We get ourselves in a mess sometimes, and we just need to get that slate totally clean, start over, and allow God to bring that water and give water to the dry bones, like in Ezekiel. Allow God to build up our life again. In Isaiah 58, it says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And then thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Going back to Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says in verse 1. "He who created you," and remember, he also created the earth. "He who formed you, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed," this is verse 12, "I am not some foreign god among you." Verse 13, "Yes, and from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" In verse 18, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." That is just a snapshot of how the Spirit renews. I pray that we can grab on and be encouraged to be in his word, to be in prayer, to praise, and to be in fellowship with one another. God gives us strength, and may he give you strength to walk through and go through the battles that you face. It's not that we're not going to have battles, and it's not that we're not going to see drought. But we will see victory in those things. We have been delivered. The enemy has been judged. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us when we ask Jesus in. And the Holy Spirit can be upon us every day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the delivery that you have given to us through your word. I thank you, Lord, for the great things you have done, the great things you are doing. I thank you, Lord, for the challenges that we have in life. It makes us stronger. I thank you for that, even though it's not easy. I just thank you, God, that we can trust you. We can bring to you the things we need to confess. You forgive us, Lord, wholly and completely you forgive us. I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that you do inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, I just want to take a moment now and just say, and all of you out there, go ahead and in your heart too, just say those things that you truly just adore about the Lord. Lord, we adore your strength. We adore your truth. We adore that you shield us. We adore that you can bring into the places of drought water for refreshment, that you can fill our bones, Lord. We thank you so much that you will not ever let us down, that you're good, that your forgiveness and your word is forever. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn from the past and we can move forward in confidence because we have confidence in you, not in our flesh. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Allow us to walk renewed today. In Jesus' name, amen.